Father, we thank you. We thank you for your life that lives in us. Father, we thank you for your word and the way the Spirit takes that and brings it to life in us and can open up our eyes to new things. And so, Father, we pray today that you would take your word and that you would open up our eyes to new things today. Father, as we consider the subject of love, we pray, open up our eyes. Help us to see new things in your word. Father, may your word search our hearts today as we think about it, as we consider it. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Amen. So the title today is The Supremacy of Love. And you might not know this, but it's been almost 33 years since we've been part of this church. Almost 33 years. So it's quite a long time. And in 33 years, you pick up one or two things as you go along. You learn things. It takes me that long to learn anything. But you learn things over time. And I'm always learning things. And when I stand here in front of you, this for me, and this for anybody who stands here, this is one of the most awesome privileges you get in church life, is to stand here and to open up God's word and to share your heart and to share things from God's word. It's an awesome privilege. It's something that I take very seriously, never take for granted, especially because we all are in the same place. We all have this treasure. We all have the Holy Spirit living in us in these jars of clay, these broken earthen vessels. And so we need the Holy Spirit to come in and to work through us. And one of the things that's amazing about broken vessels, if you think about this analogy, is that when the Holy Spirit lives in us, sometimes he shines through us. And sometimes it's in our brokenness that he shines through. The Bible says that when we're weak, he is strong. I'd rather be strong and he's strong. But that's not how it works, because God works in our weakness sometimes. And we've been thinking about what we believe and how what we believe as Christians should impact how we behave. And it was interesting, there was a few of us leaders up at Aberdeen yesterday, and Dr. Amy Orr-Ewing was sharing. And I just listened to what she was sharing, and I'm thinking, these are some of the things that I'm thinking about and wrestling with. It's some of the things we've been thinking about as a church. How does what we believe impact how we behave? How does it impact how we communicate into the world that we live in? And so we've thought about God as the creator. We've thought about creation. We've thought about us as being created and how we fit into all that. Last week, we thought about words, and particularly we thought about the subject of gossip. And I quoted Nicky Gumbel when he said, gossip is when you're sharing information, you're neither part of the problem nor the solution. Meditate on that. Take that away. Take a picture of it. Screenshot it, whatever. You know, meditate on those words and allow it to think, allow it to speak to you. And it's spoken to me for the last year. I'm like, Lord, you know, how do I actually speak? And am I saying the right things? I've shared from Ephesians, and I've quoted 1 Corinthians a few times and the book of Ephesians. We've been in Genesis. Ephesians and 1 Corinthians are two writings of Paul which are closely linked. In Ephesians 5, we read this, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Live a life of love. 1 Corinthians 14:1 says, follow the way of love. Colossians 3:14, over all these virtues, and he's talking about some amazing things, over all these virtues, put on love which binds them all together in perfect unity. C.S. Lewis wrote a book entitled The Four Loves, and in that book he talks about four different types of love, which we all use one word for often, but he talks about different kinds of love. He talks about affection, like the love of a parent for a child. And that can be a different kind of love as well. He talks about friendship, philia, the love that we have as brothers and sisters, love for one another. He talks about romantic love. We'll not go into all that today. Although I actually think it might be good to go into that. Maybe do that on a Sunday night, okay? And you can choose to come along, okay? He also talks about charity. It's the word that's used for love in the Authorized Version. And what he's referring to is agape love. It's that unconditional, self-sacrificial love that God has for us and we should have for one another. That kind of love is a risky love, but it's also a robust love. The love of God, the love that God has for us is a risky love, but it's a robust love. Now, I could say that I love chocolate. I could say that I love chips. I could say that I love a korma from the Karma. I could say I love Whitburn Juniors, but I'd be telling fibs anyway. But none of those things fit into even the categories that we've talked about here today. In our society, in our culture, we get mixed up about what love is. Love is misrepresented all the time on our television, the programs we watch, in media, and social media. Love is misrepresented. And it tends to fit into category three very often. Love is much more than category three. Love is much more than romantic love. Love, the love that we're talking about today, the love of God for us and the love that we should have for our community and our world, to quote our Longridge prayer, is a robust love. It's a robust love. It's also a risky love. Sometimes when we love, we risk much because we might not be loved back in return, and that's a hard thing. I wanted to tell you a wee story. I don't know how much I'll share today or how much I'll get through with the time that we've got. The church should be a place where the love of God is seen, demonstrated. And I think back over 33 years ago to when I met the lovely Mary. And we were still going out together at the time. And Mary had been going to a Christian club in Glasgow. And in that club, Mary had been serving. You could probably tell the story better than I could, but anyway, I'm up here. I'm stealing your thunder, Mary. Serving with a few of her friends, a couple of friends, serving in this club. And all the time in that club just kind of seemed to remain invisible. Nobody saw these three people. Nobody saw the service. And what was being done in the name of love and being done in the name of God was being taken for granted. To be in a Christian community and remain invisible is not a good thing. You should never be invisible in the church. Everybody should be known by somebody. And in this community, there just seemed to be that invisibility. There seemed to be a lack of equity in that community. At the same time as this was going on, I was working part-time for Strathclyde Regional Council, as it was then, in Strathclyde Park as a student. We had great fun winding up the full-timers. I could tell you hundreds of stories about working there, but I'll not do that today. But I did meet somebody there when I decided to get baptised, and there was various people I wanted to invite. And through that experience, I learned that one of the guys I was working with, also a student, was a Christian. And so we became friends. And he said, you should come to this club. And so I went to this club. And Mary says, oh, I know about that club. And on the occasion where I went with my friend, who was kind of in, he was in the in crowd, right? He was really gifted, really talented, really musical, blah, 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 handsome, all that kind of stuff. And he became my friend. And as we went to this club together, Mary's experience in that club totally changed. All of a sudden, from being invisible, the person in the background who nobody gave a second look to, all of a sudden became important. I want to ask you a question today. I want to ask you a question. Do you feel loved? Do you feel loved? When you come into church, do you feel loved? If you don't feel loved, you should feel loved. If you don't feel loved, that's our responsibility as a church, to allow people to feel loved when they come into church. People say about that verse, you've heard it yourself, about speaking the truth in love. Well, I'm only saying this because I love you. Let me ask you a question. Before you say anything, does that person know that you love them? Do they feel that you love them? Every thought, every word, every deed should say, I love you. Even the things that nobody sees, the things that go on in the background, even in church life, your family life, your work life perhaps, all the things that go unseen, they can be saying, I love you. We need to tell people indirectly through our actions. We need to tell people directly through our words. Nobody should be in any doubt that God loves them. And the love of God is seen through the church, primarily through the church. And so the church should be a place where the love of God is not only seen, it's felt, it's experienced. We can feel loved. And we all need that. The Christian love that we're talking about today is a demanding love. That's a picture of Glasgow. People make Glasgow better. I meant to put that up when I was talking about that story. Did you know that that building's coming down? The people make Glasgow better. The building's coming down. I was down taking a photograph of it on Monday. I'm like, oh, I love that building. It's coming down. It makes me feel sad. But they'll probably put something really cool in its place. Anyway, that's an aside. The Christian love is a demanding love. It demands something of us. It requires something of us. If you think Christianity is just about you and God and your relationship with God and nobody else, you've missed the point. It's about us. And you should not be asking, what is love demanding of that person? You should be asking, what is love demanding of me? And if we all thought about what is love demanding of me, then none of us would feel unloved because we're thinking about our responsibility to the body of Christ. What does love demand of me when I'm tired, when I'm upset, when we're feeling down, when we feel let down by other people or ourselves or even God, when we feel that the tank is empty? Does anybody ever feel like that? When you feel like your tank's empty, you're like, I've got nothing left in the tank here. And even in those moments, we have still to love. If our tank's empty, we need to ask God to come and fill us. We've thought about this morning already, and so I'm not going to dwell on it. The Christian love is a sacrificial love. God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. An eternity with God in his presence, as opposed to an eternity without God. The Bible talks about a place called hell. Jesus talked about that. I don't want anybody to go to that place. My heart's desire for the people that I love, the people that I care about, the people who are here, is that we experience an eternity with God in his presence. God loved us, and God made the way possible through his Son, Jesus. But the Christian love is also an active love. It's interesting. There's a passage in the Bible all about love. Where is it? 1 Corinthians 1 back. 13. 1 Corinthians 13. And we read that passage at weddings and it's all lovey-dovey and smooshy-smooshy. But what Paul's talking about, if you read it, chapter 13 is sandwiched between chapter 12 and chapter 14, where Paul talks about spiritual gifts. And the purpose of the gifts is that the body of Christ, the church, might be built up. And when he's in the middle of this discourse, he says, let me show you a more excellent way. And he begins to talk about love. The purpose of this passage is not that we get all smooshy. The purpose of this passage is that we find out what it means to exhibit, to demonstrate, to practice a robust love. That risky love. And I hadn't noticed this until this week. In our English translation of 1 Corinthians 13, when it talks about love as all these amazing things, in our English translation, we use adjectives to describe love. Did you know that in the original Greek language, the writer, Paul, does not use adjectives, he uses verbs. Fascinating. In the Greek language that Paul wrote in, he uses verbs. So we describe love. Paul talks about how you do it. This is about how you put this into practice. Let me just go through this little list. Let me say that first. I'm jumping the gun. Love's not an abstract concept, but it's a series of intentional actions. It's something that we do. We need to do it. And in this passage in Corinthians, there are ways which love is expressed positively. There's also ways that love is expressed negatively, as in love is not doing these things. It's doing this stuff, but it's not doing this stuff. And I want to just draw your attention to this passage using verbs. Sorry if this is a bit small. Hopefully you can all see it up the back. There's a lot of information to fit into one screen. Love exercises patience. Love puts patience into practice. Who finds being patient easy? Who finds loving when it's hard easy? Love exercises kindness. Love does not envy. It does not boast. Love does not have an overinflated sense of self. Love does not behave in bad taste, whether it's in our thoughts, in our words, or in our deeds. Love does not just think about itself. I think that's what we see in the world today. Not only do we get love mixed up in what it actually is, and we get hung up on romantic love, but love can often be very selfish in the world that we live in today. Our job is to demonstrate a different kind of love in a different way. How far am I on here? It doesn't get easily provoked when we have been violated in some way. When our self, our being, who we are as a person has been violated in some way, love is not easily provoked. And that's hard. Love does not delight in injustice. It doesn't have a naughty list either. I've jumped the gun. I've missed one out. Love doesn't have a naughty list. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Do I need to sing it? He's making a list and checking it twice. He's going to find out who's naughty or nice. It's no Santa Claus, okay? This is an almighty God who sees everything we think, say, and do. The only person qualified to have a naughty list is God himself. Love, Christian love, does not keep a naughty list. Who finds that easy? I'll tell you something. The longer you've been a Christian, the longer the list can be. Because guess what? We'll let each other down. We all miss God's standard. At one point in time or another, we all miss the mark. And therefore, therefore, we're all potentially on somebody's naughty list. Right? I wonder what would happen if we did that in church today, if we wrote out our naughty list. What would it look like? Let's not do that. Because love doesn't have a naughty list, okay? Listen to what love is. Love rejoices when the truth is upheld. Love always bears up under pressure. Elsie does diving, okay? If your gear doesn't bear up when you're under pressure, what happens? When you're underneath the water and you're 10 meters down, if your gear doesn't bear up under pressure, what happens? It would be a disaster. It would be a disaster. And that's when love really is demonstrated in the church, when we're under pressure to take a different path. When love's under pressure, the love of God, the Christian love that we're talking about, always bears up under pressure. Love always believes. It always entrusts. It always has faith in other people. It believes in people. Do you know what? I am glad that there are people in the church who believed in me when I was making a mess of things. And they could see the potential in me, and they could see what I would become, or what I'm becoming, hopefully. Always bears up, always believes, it always hopes, it always has that positive expectation that people will come through. It always endures. And I wanted to just rest on this for a moment. I know that time's really marching on, but love always endures. Take your time because love is patient. Thank you, David. I'll do that. Well said. So you need to exercise patience. Thank you. You can come more often, David. I've learned a few things over the last few years about endurance through my latest activity, which is cycling. I've learned what it means to just stay in that saddle and to keep pedaling until. To stay in the saddle and keep pedaling until. And on the 2nd of September this year, I completed my longest bike ride so far. 79.3 miles, 3,850 feet of climbing with an average speed of 12.7 miles per hour. That was an achievement for me. That was a big achievement for me, believe it or not. And I cycled down to a place I love. It's called Tweedsmuir. There's me, happy chappy. But at that point in time, I was only halfway through. And I'm like, oh no, I need to do all this in reverse again. that's when you go, man, this is going to take something of not just my body, but my mind as well. Love always endures. For me, sticking on that saddle is a mental thing as well as a physical thing. It's in here. Mostly it's in here. When we need to endure in life, regardless of what the activity is, if it's a relationship that we need to endure in, I think the Authorized Version talks about this type of love as being long-suffering. Long-suffering, endurance, patient. Despite all that's going on in that moment, I realize I need to cycle all the way back. There's an endurance aspect to that. And it's like that in life. There's an endurance aspect to life as well. We need to endure. And Christian love, the love that God has for us, that self-sacrificial love that he demonstrates in us and through us, helps us to endure. And I just felt today, there are people here today, I just had this sense even in my preparation, you need to understand that God has never left his post concerning you. God has never left his post concerning you. I don't know who I'm speaking to this morning, but I'm speaking to somebody. You need to know, God has never left you. He's never left his post. He sees everything that's happening. He knows about it. He's on your side. He's cheering for you. He's rooting for you. God shows us what it means to endure. Remember that verse in the Bible where it says about Jesus? Because of the joy set before him, what did he do? He endured the cross. He endured the cross. And God endures on our behalf. And lastly, that love never fails. It never falls down, never lets you down. God will never let you down. There are coming a time where all our prophecies will cease. When we read about this in 1 Corinthians, prophecies will cease. Tongues will cease. Knowledge will cease. All these things that we value will cease. But at the end of that chapter, it says that these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Paul said, let me show you a better way. The church is built up by the words of God, the prophetic, all these incredible gifts of the Spirit. But the church is built up through love. And this is Paul's driving force in the early church. This is why he wrote to them. He says, you need to get yourself sorted out because there's a world looking at you that needs to be saved. And it will be saved when it sees the love of God in you. And it applies to us today. When we were children, it was okay. But now that we're maturing, that we're adults, we're Christian adults with this robust and risky love, it's not okay. It's okay when we're children. But when we were children, that's all we could be. But when we grow up and we realize we can be something different, then we should be something different. As the Church of Christ, we're called to a far higher standard. We need to live to a higher standard than the world that we live in. And just as I finish off, the last few weeks I've talked about the key is in our connections. And the key lies in our connections, even today. And I want to encourage you with five different activities that you can get involved in starting right after this service finishes. Here's number one. Speak to somebody that you don't know. Have a wee look around. Is there anybody in the building here that you don't know? You don't know them by name. You just go, well, I'm going to go and speak to that person there after the service. And I'm going to say, hi, my name's Stevie. What's your name? Where do you come from? What's your story? Tell me about what's happening in your life. Speak to someone that you don't know. Second thing is this. Invite somebody over. I remember the days when Christians in church were always in somebody's house having a cup of tea and a blether. Tea and chat solves everything, doesn't it? Tea and chat solves a whole bunch of problems. Invite somebody over. Pray and ask God to help you if there's a relationship in your life which is broken. If there is a place where you're strained and you're feeling, I'm really finding it hard to love in this situation. And let's be honest, it's hard to love in some situations. It's hard. But this love demands something of us. It demands something that where we need to dig deeper into ourselves, and we can only do it through the help of the Spirit. We can only do it because God empowers us to do it to start with. I've been thinking about this recently. There are some things in life which I could not be bothered with if I wasn't a Christian. There are some people in this world that I could not be bothered with if I wasn't a Christian. But the love of Christ compels us. The love of Christ constrains us. The fact that there are people who are going to a lost eternity should compel us to demonstrate this love. It's important and it's urgent. Mend the broken relationships. If you've watched that film Brave, if you're into animation, have you seen it? Mend the bond, right? Get it fixed, okay? You've had enough time now, just get it fixed. Mend the bond. Pray for other people, especially the people that are in trouble, people that you know, people that you love. Pray for people. It's one of the ways that we demonstrate that we love people. And love completely. Love completely. We can only do that because God helps us to do it. And lastly, endure in the challenging times. It's simple, isn't it? You see what I did there? It's so simple. The theory is simple, but the practice, well, that's something totally different. In order to do the simple thing, we need the Spirit of God living in us, flowing out of us and through us to demonstrate the love of God. If we believe in a God who created the universe and everything that we see, who created us in his image, and that image was vandalized by sin, if we believe that every human being that we meet is created in the image of God, then there is an inherent dignity in people. And we need to see that in other people. Even if they bug the absolute nuts out of us, okay? If they bug our faces right off, we need to see that person is made in the image of God and that person needs to experience the love of God. That person needs to feel the love of God. It's all good and well saying, oh, I love you, brother. I'll pray for you. Away you go. When that person is actually needing a wee bit more from us, if they're needing more from us, we need to give them the more. And sometimes at the point in time when we need to give the more, it's when we're feeling tired, it's when we're feeling like we need to go and have a wee rest, it's when we're feeling like we'd like somebody to invite us over for a cup of tea, and they make it for a change. It's in these moments. And we can only do it because the love of Christ lives in us and compels us and motivates us. Today, I encourage you to think about this. I encourage you to think about what we believe as a church. And we sung it in that second song. So much of it was contained in that. And the solution, in one sense, is simple. The practice is a different story. It's harder, but we need to do it. Let's just bow our heads. Let's just close our eyes as we draw our time to a close today. There's been lots of things said in this service today. I really hope that something has landed in your heart today. I really hope that the Holy Spirit has dropped something, deposited something into you today, and you go, do you know what? I need to think about that. I need to take that away. I need to pray about that. I need to do something different. Maybe for some people today, it's about inviting Jesus into your heart. You've never taken that step before. Maybe there's somebody online today. Maybe there's somebody in the building today, and you've never invited Jesus into your heart. Today is a day where you can do that. Today is a day when you can pray a simple prayer and just open up that door. We thought about that earlier in the service. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Jesus is standing at the door of your heart and knocking, and he's waiting patiently to get in. And maybe that's you today. Maybe it's somebody online. Maybe it's somebody in the building. I'm going to pray a prayer. You pray this prayer, simple prayer. Pray it after me. Pray it into your heart, and then come and tell me that you've prayed that prayer, because we want to pray with you and give you some things to take away that will help you as you begin a journey with Jesus. This is the little prayer. Dear God, I thank you for your incredible love. I thank you for Jesus. I thank you that he died on that cross, died for me, died to demonstrate your love for me. So help me, come into my life, forgive me, make me clean. Help me to love. Help me to endure. In Jesus' name. And Father, we just pray over every heart in this place today. Lord, I recognize that today we'll all go out of this building. We'll go into family situations. We'll go into perhaps workplace situations, places in our community, even this week, Father, where we are experiencing challenges. And Lord, You have come to equip us in all of life, not just when we meet on a Sunday. Father, you're the God of the Monday, the Tuesday, all the way through to Saturday. Father, help us to depend on you wherever we find ourselves. Lord, for those who are struggling with a work situation, Father, we pray that you give them great wisdom and that you give them favor. Father, for those who are struggling in a family situation, Father, we ask that you would speak into that and that you'd give them insight and help them to know how to pray. And Father, for those in our congregation and those linked to our congregation who are struggling with physical illnesses at the moment, Father, we ask that you would come by your power and that you would release gifts of healings from heaven itself. May your Spirit work in the church to build up, to edify the body of Christ through gifts of healings, through miracles, Father, through incredible things that are done in your name. Lord, we pray, may your Spirit work in your church. Father, we pray for your church today. I pray for it one last time today. Father, we pray that your church would be clean, that your church would be whole, that your church would be healthy. Lord, that your church would honor you. Father, that people would see Jesus in the church. And Father, we pray that you'd help us to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength. Father, help us to love our neighbor as ourselves. Because, Father, we read in Jesus' words that all the law, the prophets, the commandments, everything is wrapped up in these two. Father, that additional commandment that Jesus gave, a new commandment I give unto you, love one another. Father, help us to love as we have been loved. In Jesus' name we ask. And all God's people said, Amen.